Hello again. This is Carol Bond returning with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 20th, 2016. We'll begin this portion of the reading with the obituaries. Mildred Betty Barnes, 87, of Moquegua, Illinois, passed away at 9:55 a.m. Sunday, September 18th, at Moquegua Nursing Center. Cremation rites to be accorded. There will be no services. Britlinger and Earl Funeral Homes, Decatur, are assisting the family. Jeff L. Gordon, 61, of Shelbyville, died at 12:59 a.m. Monday, September 19th, in Shelbyville Rehabilitation and Health Care Center. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, September 22nd, in Howe and Yaki Funeral Home, Shelbyville, with Reverend Kevin Ray officiating. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday. Burial will be in Glenwood Cemetery, Shelbyville. Memorials may be given to the First Christian Church of Shelbyville or Donor's Choice. Gary Scott, 71, of Decatur, passed away on Monday, September 12th, in Symphony of Decatur. Graveside services to celebrate Gary's life will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, September 21st, in Graceland Cemetery. The family of Gary Scott is being served by Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home and Cremation Services. Karen K. Tagg, 68, of Decatur, passed away Sunday, September 18th, at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur. Services to celebrate Karen's life will be 10 a.m. Thursday, September 22nd, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, September 21st, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Macon County Memorial Park. Memorials are suggested to Karen's grandchildren's education at St. Teresa in care of Shelley Vemmer. And that concludes our obituaries for today. Let's turn now back to page A for the A3 briefs for Tuesday. The first headline is Knife Fight Arrest. A Decatur woman is accused of slashing a man with a knife during an argument early Saturday, then wounding two women who entered the fight. Sworn statements say the suspect, 36, punched the man in the head before swinging a knife at him and inflicting a 2-inch wound on his right hand. She is then accused of cutting the right hand of a woman who walked over to the scene of the altercation. That wound later needed 5 stitches to close. When a second woman tried to break up the argument, she was allegedly slashed along the left side of her face, leaving a 5-inch wound. The location of the fight was not listed. The suspect was jailed on 3 counts of aggravated battery. Meth arrest. A Weldon man will appear in DeWitt County Circuit Court on September 27th for a preliminary hearing on methamphetamine charges. The Task Force 6 unit arrested Zachariah Wyckoff, 37, on a warrant on September 12th. He remains in DeWitt County Jail in Clinton in lieu of posting $3,000 bond on charges of possession of methamphetamine, disposal of meth waste, both Class 2 felonies, and 1 count of manufacturing meth, a Class 1 felony. If convicted, Wyckoff faces a sentence ranging from probation to 15 years in prison. Free dental help. The Lakeland College Dental Hygiene Clinic has free appointments through Thursday, September 29th. Clinic hours are 1 to 5 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and noon to 8 p.m. Wednesday. To schedule an appointment, call 217-234-5249. We turn now to Mary Hunt's column, and it's headlined, "No More Sleeping Through the Alarm." The article is a list of tips and suggestions that have come from readers. The first concerns a cell phone alarm volume booster. If you're a heavy sleeper and have trouble hearing your cell phone alarm, you can boost the alarm volume by placing your phone in an empty drinking glass. The sound reverberates and intensifies inside the glass. It may not be the world's most pleasant amplification technique, but it works great. As an added benefit, to turn the alarm off, you have to actually pull the phone out of the drinking glass. This requires a bit more effort, but makes it a bit more likely that you'll actually get up instead of rolling over and falling back asleep. Never lose the remote again. The reason most of us misplace the remote controls to our TVs and other electronic devices is there's no designated place to put them. One person whose handiwork I find to be so clever stuck his remote controls to the edge of his coffee table using Velcro. Any fabric store or craft store sells this stuff by the inch or in packages, with both the hook and loop sides of the Velcro outfitted with self-stick tape. He uses black sticky back Velcro. He cuts off the amount he needs for the task at hand, removes the protective paper to expose the sticky sides, and affixes one side to the remote and the other to the table. It's true that when a remote control device has a home, it's more likely to stay there regularly. Super glue to the rescue. Use super glue to quickly seal cuts and blisters. Whether you're hiking, barbecuing, or just roughhousing outdoors, this is the time of year for cuts and blisters. If you can't find a bandage, a dab of super glue will fix a wound in a pinch. After you've cleaned the wound and stopped any bleeding, apply a very small amount of super glue to the area and quickly spread it around before it dries. The glue will harden into a mesh that essentially acts as replacement skin until your body heals itself. Super glue is non-toxic, but it might cause minor skin irritation, and it takes a long time to come off, so it's probably best to only use this trick for small wounds and if no proper bandages are available. Gleaming stainless. Clean and shine stainless steel by mixing 1 tablespoon cream of tartar with a few drops of water to make a paste. Rub the paste onto the appliance. Scrub it with a sponge and wipe it clean with a damp paper towel. Rice cooker as humidifier. Instead of buying a humidifier, use what you already have, a rice cooker. Simply fill the pot with water. If you want to create a specific fragrance in the house, add your choice of herbs. Then leave the lid off while it cooks and steams away. The idea is, since most Rice cookers have an automatic feature that switch them to keep warm after a period of time. You can fill them, set the settings, and then forget about them without fear of them boiling dry anytime soon. And you still have a great rice cooker. As we turn to page A8, we find that there are more articles related to crime and the courts. This one is headlined, "Man Allegedly Slaps Wife in Front of Boy." A Decatur man who allegedly said he was not afraid to hit women is accused of slapping his wife hard across the face while her 11-year-old son stood in front of her trying to protect his mom. The 26-year-old suspect, who was arrested at 4 a.m. Monday, is accused of striking his wife of 5 years, September 20th, during an argument. Police say they were called to the home where they found the victim in tears. Sworn statements say patrol officers also spoke to her son, who described how the suspect slapped his mother, quote, really hard. The boy allegedly told police he tried to save his mother. Quote, he advised he tried to stand in between to protect her, but the suspect struck her anyway, the statements said. The victim's sister said she arrived at the house to find her sibling sitting on the floor with the suspect standing over her and making his comment about not being afraid of assaulting women. Police say the suspect has no prior convictions for domestic violence, but was wanted in connection with a domestic battery complaint dating to November 18th. On that occasion, he is accused of spitting in his wife's face, ripping her shirt, and punching her repeatedly in her back and torso as she attempted to move the children to a bedroom. That was all a quote from the report. Her son, then aged 10, is again described as having witnessed the alleged assault on his mother. The suspect, now facing 2 counts of domestic battery, is free on $5,000 bail. The court has ordered him to stay away from his wife and their home. He is due in court October 21st. Also on Crime in the Courts, this article is by Tony Reed, "Mom Stops Alleged Sexual Abuse." A Decatur man who plied a 16-year-old girl with beer was about to have sex with her Saturday night when the girl's mother walked in on them, police allege. The mother, 35, told police she found her daughter naked in an upstairs bedroom with the 23-year-old suspect and she could see and smell that the girl was under the influence of alcohol, according to sworn statements. Police were called to the scene just after 12 a.m., and the suspect told them the girl had told him she was 17 years old. He allegedly admitted buying her alcohol at the Oakwood Street Festival in Decatur and kissing her on the lips after taking her home. Quote, he stated he did not have intercourse due to the mother arriving on scene, the statements allege. Police said the suspect became restless during questioning and ignored, quote, loud verbal commands to stay seated and not walk away from officers. Police claim the suspect threw a punch that struck one officer in the shoulder and wrapped his arm around the officer's neck, squeezing as hard as he tried to force the officer to the ground. The suspect was then, quote, taken to the ground by police and subdued after being shot with a stun gun before being locked in handcuffs. He was booked into the Macon County Jail on charges of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, unlawful delivery of alcohol to a minor, aggravated battery of a police officer, and resisting obstructing police. The suspect made $30,000 bail and was released on condition he stay away from the girl and her home. He is due in court October 21st. We're going to turn now to the Decatur Tribune Online, Paul Osborne, editor, and we're going to read his City Beat column having to do with candidates who are running for office. Local businessman John Phillips announced his plans to run for mayor of Decatur during a news conference Tuesday in Central Park. Present Mayor Julie Moore Wolf has already announced plans to run for the office after being appointed by the City Council to replace Mayor Mike McElroy when he passed away last year. Moore Wolf's appointment is effective until the next municipal election, when she will have to seek the voters' approval to continue as mayor. More details about Phillips can be found in a complete article regarding his candidacy in the local news page on this website. Phillips is coming to my office this week to chat about his mayoral candidacy, and I will have some personal observations about our discussion and the candidate in next week's column. Street Talk has one or two more candidates likely to step forward to run for mayor, and several more for city council. Calhoun seeks council seat. Dan Calhoun contacted me a few days ago to tell me that he is circulating petitions to get on the ballot as a candidate for city council. Calhoun told me that he has decided to run for council because he is not happy with the direction our city continues to go and the impact their decisions have on residents' lives. Quote, "My reasons for running for council are the escalating taxes on residents, as well as the city's failure to try and bring living wage employers to the city," said Calhoun. "Living wage employers," this is still a quote, "will support our current small businesses, plus aid in bringing new business to town." Calhoun is a locomotive engineer for Norfolk Southern Railroad and will mark 21 years of service in November. He also serves as a local chairman, union rep, for Smart Transportation Department, Local 768, Decatur, representing members working out of Decatur. He holds the position of Senior Vice General Chairman, Smart TD General Committee 687 of Bellevue, Ohio, representing members from Kansas City to Detroit, working the former Wabash lines on Norfolk Southern. He also serves as the Smart TD member representative on the Board of Managers of the Wabash Women Memorial Hospital Association. Calhoun was raised in Oakley and graduated from Cerro Gordo High School in 1993. Calhoun said, "I am engaged to be married on September 17th to my fiance, Carrie Bartosik, who owns Petal's Gift Shop in Forsyth. We have no children. We both have numerous family members who work or reside around Decatur and surrounding area." When asked what he would bring to the council if elected, his answer was, quote, "My experience in labor has educated me on reading, learning, and solving issues before they become a problem. You have to ask questions even if they are difficult questions or questions people don't want to hear before making a decision on an issue that can impact people's lives. You simply cannot rubber stamp a suggestion by city staff without understanding that decision's impact to the residents of our city. Calhoun is the fourth candidate for three city council seats that are up for election in April 2017. Other declared candidates are Chris Riley, Chuck Kuhl, and incumbent Patrick McDaniel. Osborne's column continues with this headline. Phyllis Schlafly was in Decatur several times. Phyllis Schlafly, who was often called the First Lady of the Conservative Movement in America, died last week at the age of 92. She appeared in Decatur several times, and back in the 1970s, I interviewed her for this newspaper during some of those visits. She was fiery, articulate, and a great debater. She amassed a citizens' movement to defeat the Equal Rights Amendment. When I was interviewing her 40 years ago, she was already 50 years old, but she had the energy and determination of a 20-year-old. Study her biography, and whether you agree with her views or not, all that she accomplished in her life is staggering, to say the least. She founded Eagle Forum in 1975, and it certainly has had a lot of impact on national politics and issues the conservative movement believes critical. There was a very strong chapter of Eagle Forum in Decatur back in those days. I covered Phyllis Schlafly and the rallies of local members who were part of that movement. Somewhere in one of many storage boxes of photos I shot back then, digital photography wasn't invented yet, I have a lot of 8x10s of Phyllis Schlafly and local women lobbying in Springfield against the Equal Rights Amendment. Legislators were treated with a lot of pies, not in the face kind, during those lobbying efforts, which gave voice to a lot of women and others who had strong beliefs against the ERA. My last interview with Phyllis Schlafly was in front of WSOY when it was located on Pershing Road. She was on a very tight schedule, but she agreed to meet me before she left town, right after the interview at WSOY. I was waiting for her when she emerged alone from the front door of the studio. She was neatly dressed, she always was, and reminded me of a mother coming out of a PTA meeting. She greeted me, was very gracious, and we stood on the sidewalk and talked for about a half hour. I always had the feeling in interviewing her that there was no way she was ever going to lose any debate. I understood then how strong a person she was in her convictions and in articulating her position to convince others to see her point of view. I hadn't seen Phyllis Schlafly in person or talked with her since those years as a young editor. But when I read that she had passed away, I remembered my contact and interview with her, and how smart, gracious, and passionate in her beliefs she was. And my personal memories of her are good ones. We also find this small note of encouragement in his column, quoting Mr. Osborne. Listen to the City Hall Insider Hour with Paul Osborne on Byers & Company at 7 o'clock every Thursday morning over News Talk 1340 WSOY. Or you can visit a website, decatertribune.net. We have time today to look at a few short articles from the AARP magazine. This is an article about foods, four foods that increase your brain health. First, asparagus. Full of vitamin A, it boosts brain plasticity, the ability to create new neural pathways. Shrimp. The little crustaceans have omega-3 fatty acid DHAs, crucial for maintaining the brain's signaling systems. Split peas. A legume, split peas are rich in folic acid, which improves mental processing speed. Walnuts. These are a good source of alpha-linolenic acid, a plant-based omega-3 fatty acid with heart and brain benefits. Here's an interview with William Shatner, still beaming after all these years. Question, hit show? What hit show? He says, Star Trek teetered on the brink for 3 years. Even while we were on the air, I was probably keeping my eyes open for other jobs, he says. These are Shatner's reflection on the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. He also talks about the Enterprise. I was making a documentary and I needed an airplane, so I cold called an executive at the Canadian airplane manufacturer Bombardier and asked to borrow one. He said, sure. I became an aeronautical engineer because of you. This is my paycheck. Pardon me. Payback. He talks about his Starfleet rivals. I'm jealous of all the captains who followed me. Some are even young and good-looking. I was young and good-looking. The important word is was. Asked about other space shows like Lost in Space, he says, my daughters didn't have the luxury of choosing between those two shows. Star Trek was the family business. I'm looking at a picture right now of two of my three girls when they were maybe 6 and 7 on the set playing characters. They were roped into it. And on Captain Kirk, he says, whatever success I've had is because of him. I was a leading man, kissing the girls and fighting the villains. That's not a bad bag to be in. Also in the AARP magazine is this little quiz. It's how to tell if your spouse needs a checkup. These are all yes or no questions. Does he look forward to lunch with friends but forget to go? Does she have trouble following a well-worn recipe? Does he often rely on notes or a phone to remember things? Does she have trouble remembering the date or the season? Does he think someone is out to get him other than the IRS? It says that if you have more than one yes, you should ask a physician to check your partner's mental functioning. If you have all no's, your spouse's memory is fine. If things change, get him or her to a doctor right away. And there's this extra tip. A single 20-minute exercise session improved long-term memory by about 10% in a Georgia Institute of Technology study. This has been Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald Review, dated September 20th, 2016, and also excerpts from the Decatur Tribune. I look forward to reading with you again.